Good morning, everyone. Oh, okay. Let's open with a word of prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to come here and to study your word, discuss it, Lord, learn more about you. Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit would just unlock all the mysteries to knowing you more. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Cindy, would you pass these out? I have 12. Okay. So, chapter 15 is a continuation of 14, what we looked at last week. And I apologize for running so long. I mean, we went right up to the minute on it. But so the first part of chapter 15 is taking what Paul was talking about one step farther. And so what he's talking about is the problem that existed between the Jews and the Gentiles. And he called the Jews the weak in faith and the Gentiles the strong in faith, because the Gentiles were going on faith and trusting faith, and the Jews were trusting the law, and they felt that by observing the law, that would get them salvation. And so there was a dispute between them concerning sacred meats that were for sacrifice and observing days. The converted Jews venerated the law of Moses and the abstaining from certain meats and observant of those days. The Gentiles, who were considered stronger Christians, they understood the Christian religion didn't place them under any of those obligations. So they didn't have any regard for those things either. So there was a conflict between the two groups. And Paul's concern was that the disputes were causing uncharitable judgments between each groups, judging each other, and he wanted to see brotherly love and each group to accept each other. So what were the new Christians doing that was not edifying? In chapter 14, I'm going to read verses 1 through 4. Now, accept the one who is weak in faith, but not for the purpose of passing judgment on his opinions. One person has faith that he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats vegetables only. The one who eats is not to regard with contempt the one who does not eat, and the one who does not eat is not to judge the one who eats, for God has accepted him. Who are you to judge the servant of another? To his own master he stands or falls, and he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. So the first question, what were the new Christians doing that was not edifying? The Jews, weak in faith, were what? They were judging the Gentiles. Yeah. And then the Gentiles that were strong in faith were doing what?
Judging the Jews.
They were despising them. Yeah. Yeah. So why was it wrong for them to judge each other? Who has Romans 14:10? Yeah. So who has James 4:12? So only God is the judge. Who has 2 Corinthians 5:10?
For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad.
Yeah. So we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. This next one, Matthew 7:5. Okay. It's talking about judging. Paul called for us to stop judging each other. The next one, Romans 14:17. Yep. And so, what elements were crucial to the kingdom of God? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And then Romans 14:23. So if we violate our conscience, we're guilty of sin. So now...
I agree with that. Mm-hmm. But if Paul was trying to get people to be free in their minds and their mm-hmm. thinking and have faith, mm-hmm. Jews who felt like it was wrong to eat meat or... I could understand, if they thought that it felt like it was wrong, mm-hmm. and to eat it would be sin, but he was trying to get them to be free from that kind of thinking.
Right, he was. But this is bringing it to you. You are an example to people who are weaker. Right. And if you, even though it doesn't go against the Word of God, if it's something that you have a problem with and you shouldn't be doing it and you do it, it's a sin. Whether it's right or wrong biblically, it's your attitude. And if you don't feel like you should be doing it, and that could be...
I understand.
That could be anything. Anything that we treat as... it could be... in a way like an idol, like worshiping money, things like that. So,
well, it brings me grace to my Peter when, God told him, do not call anything clean that or unclean that he has made clean.
Right.
And he goes to the Gentiles and he starts to eat and drink and stuff with them, and then mm-hmm.
right, and then he pulls back.
And then he pulls back.
Yeah.
And kind of like condemning them again.
Right. That wasn't right.
It wasn't
yeah.
right.
Yeah. And Paul called him on it, too. Yeah.
They've been doing it for so long, believing mm-hmm. it for so long, and to come up and change almost overnight.
Yeah.
It was hard.
But what you said is the problem. It's a habit. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. And ultimately, the goal is over time maturity to shift that conscience.
Yeah. And the other thing that Paul's looking at here is that the Gentiles, being strong in faith, were an example to the Jews, you know. And so there's what we're going to see a little bit farther down is in chapter 15, things are reversed where Paul is talking to the Jews about accepting the Gentiles. So, because God gave all of the gifts to the Jews in the beginning, and so they felt entitled, and so, you know, they had the right idea to begin with, that you know, they were the chosen ones, but they still knew what Abraham said, what, you know, God told Abraham was he would be the seed of all nations. And that tells them that, you know, there are going to be more people brought in besides them.
So here's a question. This is kind of not off track, but off track. So back in Daniel's day, when they took them, you know, captive and took them to Babylon, and they requested just eat vegetables for the week and show that they were going to be okay. So how did they get into that habit of just eating vegetables? Because they ate meat, sacrifices, that kind of thing.
Right. Well, I don't know, but I suspect that the diet of that was in Babylon was not the diet that they were used to eating.
Sure.
And so they probably ate what they could eat from what they were presented. And
they're eating from the king's table, especially. That's important to know that probably every piece of that
has
been dedicated to the gods.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So,
except for vegetables,
that would be a violation.
Yeah.
Their mind,
that
would
make sense.
Yeah.
That would make sense.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's probably more of it. And even the wine.
Right. So anyhow, now in chapter 15, Paul wants to encourage unity amongst the believers and joining in harmony the Jews and the Gentiles. He continues his discussion on how those who are strong are to receive and bear the infirmities of the weak. So he's telling the Gentiles that because you are stronger, you're the ones that need to help the Jews step up to the plate. So, Romans 15, 1 through 3. Now, we who are strong ought to bear the weaknesses of those without strength and not just please ourselves. Each of us is to please his neighbor for his good, to his edification. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. Paul seems to be saying that it's a responsibility of the strong, the Gentiles, to bear the weaknesses of those without strength. Why is it the Gentiles' responsibility?
They got it was by faith alone, but they need to be looking at, you know, all the history of the Jews too, and just be there for, because they were strong in their faith, they need to be helping the Jews along in their faith in Christ.
Well, the Gentiles found Christ. They understood the liberty that they got in faith in Christ. And that liberty was not just for their pleasure, it was for the glory of God. Right? So, the glory of God is to do good for others. in this case, they Paul's telling them they, you know, they have this liberty, they understand faith, and he's telling them to please their neighbors for the good of their soul and their edification. Gentiles were strong in faith and knowledge, but they were weak in love, and that's where they needed to step up. They needed to follow, like it says in verse 3, follow Christ's example. Who has 2 Corinthians 8, 9? And who has Psalm 69:9? Yeah, that's where that scripture in verse 3 comes from. So, we know that we all need to grow in our walk with Christ. And like Pastor Ron was saying, it's the maturity that we get and a mature perspective to look out for interests of others and put them ahead of ourselves. And that's God's will for the weak and the strong, to look out for the others. Romans 15:4-6. For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope. Now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be the same of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus, so that with one accord you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Gentiles found, oh, let's see. So how does Paul's message in verse 4 help us glorify God, as it says in verse 6?
This is where the same mind unifies. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the importance of instruction from the Scriptures, it helps us gain perseverance and encourages us and gives us hope. Paul's telling us that God who wrote the Scriptures is the source of our hope. And he's the source of all those benefits that we get. In verse 5, Paul's praying that these benefits work into our lives, that they'll draw us closer to God and to our fellow believers as well. And so what he sees is a goal for us is unity. Not just that we all think alike, but that we think like Christ and act like Christ. And if this happens, we can be assured that God's going to be glorified in what we do. Verse 7, therefore, accept one another, just as Christ also accepted us to the glory of God. We can't be rejecting somebody because they think differently. God made all of us, and we have to be taking that in mind, that God didn't, you know, I think about when Peter had that vision and the curtain comes down and there's all the different animals on there and he says, kill and eat. And he realized that, you know, I mean, this totally goes against the grain of everything he'd been taught. But it's a new way of thinking, and that's what they had to do. And to be more Christ-like means to be forgiving of others and accepting of others. I also had in Ephesians 6, 17 and 18. This is from the NIV. It says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. So, what are the two sources of spiritual power that we can get? Well, according to, yeah, the Word of God and prayer. In thinking about, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. 15:7 says the same thing as the opening to chapter 14:1. It says, welcome one another or accept one another. A person's spiritual maturity is, it's revealed in how well we reflect Christ's character. By pleasing others, we're pleasing God when we help others. Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Each of us is to please his neighbor for his good, for his edification.
So in other words, you don't please them just willy-nilly. There's a reason why you seek to please somebody. That is to build them up in Christ. Yeah. Sometimes that doesn't mean you just do what they want you to do. Sometimes that is just meant to correct them.
Right.
Say, buddy, you're doing the wrong thing.
Yeah.
But that's pleasing them for his edification.
Right. But edification.
You don't live by yourself.
Edification means building up. You're building someone up, and if they're weak in faith, by giving them the example of coming alongside and building them up, that helps them grow too, and it helps you grow.
In other words, he's got it. All of it's for the glory of God. Yes, we live for the glory of God. God says, "Please be. This is what I want you to do. I want you to help this person out." Our missionaries talk about that all the time, especially Jeff.
Yeah.
And about they're not going to listen to you if you don't meet their physical needs.
Right.
So they go and minister to their physical needs, which opens a door to share.
And after they're fed, they don't have a, you know, gnawing stomach. Yeah. Then they're able to listen. Sure.
Yeah. They're more willing to either.
Right.
See how high you are.
Sure. So along these same lines of the sources of spiritual power, the Word of God and prayer, in Acts 6, 1 through 7, we're reading about the first real threat to the early church. And there were complaints about how the widows of the Greeks weren't being fed. Their needs weren't being met. And the church was growing like crazy. The apostles were probably really busy. And so they asked to bring seven men in to, they asked the church to choose seven men to help them. Those were the first deacons to be brought into the church. And so in Acts 6, 3, and 4, it says, brothers and sisters, choose seven men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom, we will turn this responsibility over to them and will give our attention to prayer and to the ministry of the Word. So they felt that prayer and ministry of the Word was the important part for them to be doing, and they needed men who were solid in their spirit to help meet some of the other needs in the church. Right? All of that. You know, and then we see the effects of those guys. You know, with Stephen and Philip, and you know, big characters in the early church.
Well, that reminds me of like elders too. Mm-hmm. The older church, making mm-hmm. sure the different things are done. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't necessarily mean that they do everything themselves. They guide, mm-hmm. you know.
Right. So, verses 8 through 12. For I say that Christ has become a servant to the circumcision on behalf of the truth of God, to confirm the promises given to the fathers, and for the Gentiles to glorify God for his mercy, as it is written. Therefore I will give praise to you among the Gentiles, and I will sing to your name. Verse 10, again he says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. Verse 11, and again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples praise him. Verse 12, again, Isaiah says, there shall come the root of Jesse, and he who arises to rule over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles hope. So, Paul's kind of turning things around here, and he's telling us that the Gentiles need to accept the Jews and accept their legalism. And now he's asking the Jews, who he refers to in verse 8 as the circumcision, to consider the Gentiles as rightful children of God. Who has Mark 10:45? Paul's reminding the Jews that Christ came as a servant to the Jews. Jesus was fulfilling the promises of God that God had made through the prophets, to the fathers way back. And Paul's point was that the Jewish believers, he's telling them, don't forget that your Messiah came to fulfill all the promises God had made, and as well as the promise of blessing the Gentiles. So, you know, to the Jews, nothing makes a point better than Scripture. And so, what was the reason that Paul used these particular verses from the Old Testament?
He's reminding the Jews that the Gentiles are part of that inheritance now. They have been adopted.
Right.
But I have seen that all through the Old Testament too, when there was an alien that came to live among them and mm-hmm. worshiped God as they did. God said there is to be no difference.
Right.
You know, so God's been trying to bring in, and I know it was more the exception than the rule, but mm-hmm. I look at the lineage of Jesus, those who are in his ancestry.
Right.
That God brought in.
Who has Luke 24:44? Okay.
Now he said to them, these are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things which are written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the bonds must be fulfilled.
So the first one, verse 9, is from Psalm 18:49. This one's referring to the Jews glorifying God among the Gentiles. And the next one is from Deuteronomy 32:43, "Rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people." This is from Moses. He's referring to the Gentiles rejoicing with the Jews. And then the Psalm 117:1, that's the shortest psalm in the book. It's just two verses. "Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Praise him, all peoples." This is talking about the Jews and the Gentiles praising God together. And then the verse from Isaiah 11:10, "And in that day you shall be a root of Jesse, who shall stand as a banner to the people, for the Gentiles shall seek him." And this is referring to Christ reigning over both the Jews and the Gentiles. So he's making the point here that God's been talking about this all the way through. The Jews have the scripture, they have the proof that it was God's plan all through to bring the Gentiles into it. And when they look back and think about Abraham, God's promise to him that, you know, all the stars, that's how many, you know, seed you're going to have, all these nations. So Paul's trying to point to them that say, you know, these are scriptures that you know that have been around.
Jesus is Lord of all.
Yeah. So it's just, Paul's reaffirming that God intended to bring the Gentiles into this family. And I was curious about the, Paul took these four scriptures from the three different parts of the Old Testament. One is from the Torah, one is from the prophets, and then there's two of them from Psalms. Any idea why he chose to get one from each of the three sections of the... Yeah, right? And maybe some put more stock in the Torah and others were... Just so that it hit everybody, pretty much.
Because you have Jews, and they're all Jews, but they come from different areas, mm-hmm. different tweaked mm-hmm. beliefs. You see the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all the different...
Yeah, and then we have favorite parts of the Bible, too, you know? So...
Well, look at all the different denominations there are now.
Right, yeah. So this last verse, 13. "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." In this prayer, what is the one thing we need that is given to us by the power of the Holy Spirit? Who has Titus 2:13? Amen. Yeah. This letter to Titus, Paul's speaking of looking for the blessed hope. We always have need of hope. And as Paul tells us, we can abound in our Christian hope by the power of the Holy Spirit if we yield ourselves to his control. Titus 2:13. So I just have a few things here to kind of sum up chapter 14 and 15. These are Paul's main application points for these two chapters. We need to accept each other even when we disagree. And we are not to judge others when their convictions are different than our own. We need to focus our convictions on God and not on other people and what they're doing and what they believe. We need to put concern for others ahead of our own concerns and choose not to live selfishly. So that's what I have. Yeah, it is. Yeah.
And even among different believers, those who call themselves Christians, and they hate that they're showing that. And it's like, wow, come on. Just...
Well, we know in the end times, they're going to be Christians against Christians.
It's been a long time.
Yeah. So, next week I'm going to finish this chapter. And so we only have a couple more weeks left of Romans. And then we're going to be going into newcomers class for everybody for Sunday school. So we all get a chance, because I know Cindy and I have been through newcomers class a couple times, and I'm sure some of you have. But it's always a good refresher. Right.
So
we're going to go through it again as part of Sunday school, and that'll be good. Yeah. Well, it'd be good to have a refresher course for sure. So. Yeah. Yeah. Yep. So anyhow, a couple more weeks, and I have a video I want to show. Before we start into the newcomers thing. So, anyhow, let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for being here with us today and helping us to discuss your word and hopefully, Lord, understand it better and understand you through your word. Lord, we thank you for all the blessings that you give us. And we just pray, Lord, that we can walk closer with you. We thank you and we love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.